We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Light Years. Andy Liu, you are back.
You know, it felt like I was 24 again. Just was in LA, way too much alcohol. Things are opened up in Koreatown, Sam. It's a great time. You know, I am happy things are back-ish. I'm happy people are happy. I'm not happy the Warriors are out, but you know, we're back. Me and you, we're back.
We're a 12-month-a-year show. unlike the Warriors, we're always chasing downloads. We're always chasing the wins. There's none of this. That's not what this year is about on this show. We just opened a merch store. You guys should check that out. We got 3 shirts in there. In the next week or two, we're expecting to get hats and some other stuff up there. We're hoping to have it updated going forward. Bear with us on the early stuff, but you can order shirts. There's Steph Better shirts. There's official Light Year shirts.
We also have a few to give away. We know that we asked people to give us reviews. We would pick 1 or 2 to give out a shirt. We did not forget. Sam and I did not forget. So we are still going to get those out there to you. We appreciate the review. We appreciate you subscribing and the 5 stars and all sticking with us this season.
So. Just so people are aware, we've partnered with a site called Power Forward. Who makes the t-shirts, and we're still kind of getting the processes in place. So we're hopeful we can get some free shirts in the next week or two, which we're going to give away to loyal listeners. In the meantime, you are able to go on there and order shirts. If you want to get one, they do ship. There is a customer service email. If you have any issues, Power Forward, is a site that will kind of run all the customer service side of it. So you don't have to deal with, so Andy and I, quite frankly, don't have to be printing t-shirts. But with that said, and someone said we need to get some "with that said" bumper stickers.
Or keep it moving. With that said, keep it moving. See, we gotta license some of your stuff. Also, by the way, a couple more things. One more is locker room. We're doing locker room. We're still doing it. Thursday.
4 p.m. before the games start on Thursday. We're going to try to do an early one, see how that goes. Then we'll see how we want to do it going forward. We will be doing them all through the playoffs, but Thursday, yes. 4 p.m. If you can't make it because you have work or whatever, it'll be up in pod the next morning, like always.
All right.
Let's get the show started, baby. So the Warriors had a press conference on Monday. One could say it was to kind of address the season. And I thought it was pretty interesting, Andy. I thought Bob Myers had some interesting things to say.
You know, Bob Myers reminds me a little bit of John Lynch. He's a likable guy. People genuinely like him. He doesn't get much kind of flack. I think a lot of people blame him for some of the stuff that are that the moves that aren't made, but I think smart people kind of know it wasn't really his fault. I like how honest he is. That's the comp with John Lynch. I just like how genuinely real he is. And we're going to go through all the quotes here. It seemed like Bob Myers listens to Sam Esfandiari and Andy Liu on the Light Years podcast. It seems like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, my big takeaway was he basically said everything that we and the listeners have been saying all year.
Correct.
Not enough shooting, not enough playmaking, needs someone to take stuff off of staff.
Clay's not going to solve this, right?
Clay's not going to solve this, and we can go down the line. Seemed like he was pretty honest with himself, and now it's just a question of if they can do it or not.
I have a take that I think is interesting when you talk about Steve Kerr and Bob Myers, because they're best friends, right? They're close buddies. Though when it comes to one topic with Oubre, it didn't seem the case. So I like that moving forward. So I don't know whether those guys are on the same path there, Sam, with Kelly Oubre. But I think overall, with some of the quotes, it felt like Bob Myers is saying, we got to try to win. Like Marcus Thompson wrote a piece on this. We've been talking about this ad nauseum. You're gonna have to try to win this season. And do you cut him some slack though, Sam? Because he said one thing that was noteworthy. Do you cut him some slack when he said, well, when Clay got hurt, a lot of these veterans didn't want to come. And so,
yeah,
so
that's a great place to start.
I
do cut him some slack on his inability to sign the Serge Ibaka, Nicholas Batum, Blake Griffin, like all these type of guys. Like I do cut him some slack there. Where I don't cut them some slack is on the decisions they did make and kind of their inability to find more talent. I was talking with someone about this, and they brought up a good point. You can cut the Warriors slack for not finding players from 15 to 19. They were in win now mode. It's really hard to do both at the same thing. The fact that they've had 2 years not competing for a title and all they've really have to show for it is Jordan Poole and maybe Juan Toscano-Anderson, that's kind of embarrassing. I think about the San Francisco Giants with that. I think about how until Farhan Zaidi finds a player he likes, he's shuffling the deck. He's making moves. He's going through the scrap heap, finding players until he finds someone like Mike Yastrzemski. Hey, this guy can play, right? Until he finds a guy. The Warriors, I don't think we're all that active in finding players. And I want to point out to maybe the Houston Rockets here. Houston Rockets could not have had a worse season in terms of like James Harden blowing it up before the season started. Guess how many players the Houston Rockets had on their roster this year?
How many?
30. They cycled through it. But you know what? At the end of the year, they found like six separate players who could be pieces for them. They don't have core players, which is the problem. But like, I just feel like the Warriors, between last year and even this year, they had opportunities to cycle through, and maybe they could have found a couple more players to not have to enter this summer with such a daunting list of needs. Because when I look at their needs, it's like five players long, which is the same as it was last year.
I want to hone in on that, what you just said with the rotating number of players and what the Houston Rockets ended up with. Players like Michael Mulder, we're not going to talk Smiley. He's not going to be back. But Mulder,
although he could have been someone you cut just to give someone else a shot.
Thank you. That's exactly so. Right. Michael Mulder. I don't know why I said Michael Mulder three times now. Nico Mannion, Marquise. I feel okay. So maybe not Marquise, but you go down the list of all of these players, even Marquise Chris, they brought him in. They could have, if they let Marquise Chris go, what's really the pain? Like the guy's not contributing to like a playoff winning team. Right?
He was injured all year
also, and he was injured.
So sitting on the roster for no reason.
And I think that's where we're coming from. Gary Payton Jr., they pick up. Jordan Bell, they pick up. Like those guys, you got to do that every week. You got to do that every week unless you have Zaza Pachulia, Sean Livingston, Andre Iguodala, where you're like, those guys are set. You cannot move those players, right? As far as I'm concerned, you get those rosters, get them out of there, right? Get them out of there. Pick someone up. Take a swing. Braden Bishop, Farhan Zaidi picked up last week, who's Hunter Bishop, was one of their top prospects' brother, which is like a cool story. Grant Brisby, friend of the show, wrote a huge article. And I was excited. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Maybe he's going to be awesome. Cut. A week later, he's gone, right? He's gone. They pick up a new guy, right? So same thing. You're talking about Houston Rockets, 30 players. They come in, they come out, they come in, they come out.
They end up with Jayshon Tate. They end up with Kevin Porter Jr. KPJ is talented, by the way.
You know, I don't blame them for not picking him up, though, like with the character stuff. But the point is well taken, Sam. Like, it's well taken. You got to take swings on guys. You can't – like, Michael Mulder, I think, is the guy where it's like he played 20 minutes in the win or loss, right? And I don't want to blame the kid, but he shouldn't have been on the team, like, more than maybe a month, right? He comes in. He's cool. He's great. But really, honestly, if you pick someone up who you think is more upside, pick him up. Because you can find a Michael Mulder off the street any day of the week. You don't need him there offseason. Take swings.
And to me, it seems like they don't know what they want to do. You can even look at someone like Jordan Poole, who it took going down to the G League to figure out what they want to do. Teams that are able to bring players in and out in a fast fashion have an idea of what they want to do with players. I'm not sure the Warriors have really honed in on that at this point. And that's what's a little frustrating. Actually, I want to take this, even if you take this farther back, remember the Miami Heat before they got their stuff together? They were shuffling through players all the time, trying to find guys to fit. Because until you are like the Brooklyn Nets, we got the Brooklyn Nets on the background. At this point, the Brooklyn Nets are the favorite to win the title. All they really need to do is find vets to go around their core guys and maybe do a little shuffling in the margins. Until you have that, you have to constantly be tinkering.
Now, I think I want to push back on that a little bit just because they were waiting on Steph. They were waiting on Klay and Draymond. They were unsure whether those guys were healthy. Those guys have proved to be healthy and still great outside of Klay. So I think they now understand, and maybe this is still not a great thing, but they now understand, and Bob Myers was saying, we just need to add vets. Like, we're not going to be able to develop, or we're not going to be able to figure out a Jayshon Tate, right? We're not going to be able to figure out these guys. We're not going to figure out a developing some of these guys outside of kind of backing into Jordan Poole. We're just going to figure out how to get Trevor Ariza next season. I'm okay with that though.
I think it's awful because
it is for the next, like, after the next 2 years, right? But I think, like, for the Steph title window, I don't like it, Sam, but I'll live with it.
I don't think they have a shot at a title. With just adding a couple of vets, like, honestly.
But Jayshon Tate isn't winning you a title. That's like,
no,
right?
No. But it's about taking shots for the off chance you can actually find a guy who might be the next Draymond Green. Like, the Warriors don't win a title without Draymond coming into his own. And what was Draymond, a player they took a shot on? So it's not just about the scrap heap, but it's about picks. It's about sometimes about cutting the cord quickly and calling a spade a spade.
Yeah, I mean,
there are obvious differences between basketball and baseball, so I don't want to get too heavy into the baseball analogy. But one of my starkest takeaways from this team was just how inactive they were with a team that clearly didn't work.
Yes.
And that's kind of something that's going to bother me, because it's like, it's okay to be inactive when you have a very veteran laden team and you're clearly like, your focus is more on getting them healthy, not anything else. It's another thing when it's like, all right, Steph's still one of the best players in the league, might be the best player in the league. Klay is obviously still a core contributor. Draymond's a core contributor. Beyond that, you know, is there anyone you really want to get married to? I liked what Wiggins did this year, but it's like, you know, my point is they have a lot of roster spots which are undetermined, and there was opportunity for them to make a few more moves to add a few more players. So maybe they enter next season with more than just Jordan Poole being a feel-good story.
I was going to say, you know, I'm trying to play the devil's advocate here. I'm with you. I think they backed up into Jordan Poole a little bit, and I think that's the guy. Like, you talk about that marginal piece that might help him win a title. He might be that guy. JTA at a maybe a lower level, right? Because next season, he's probably not going to play as much as he did this season. But Jordan Poole, I think, could very well be that guy, which is a good thing. I think Bob Myers was saying they didn't really know, and here's more honesty, he didn't really know that Jordan Poole is going to be that good. Frankly, I doubt Steve Kerr did too, right? And nobody did. Like, those guys didn't know Draymond Green was going to be that good either. So he's probably that guy, right? So he's running the second unit. I think there were quotes on him playing the second unit with Klay and Draymond. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so it's like, I appreciate the honesty, but I still have skepticism that they can execute it, I guess is what it comes down to. It's like you can say you need to do stuff, but can you actually pull it off? So it's like, well, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, that's right.
It's to be determined. Now, let's take it to one of the bigger topics of the press conference, James Wiseman. Bob Myers saying adamantly he expects him to be on the team next year. We did get a piece of good news. They feel confident he'll be healthy for the beginning of training camp. So that means they're thinking September he should be able to do full basketball activities, which is not the full 6 months, which is good, right? Like there, it was 4 to 6 months. That's probably 5 months. So, you know, pretty good. What'd you take from Bob saying that?
Somebody posted a link to him saying that they didn't sign D'Lo with the thought of trading him. I thought that was pretty funny. What else is Bobby supposed to say? Oh, Bobby is supposed to come out here and say, you know, we're looking for the best offer here, guys. You know, trade value stuff, all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
But if I were him, I mean, number one thing is you want to tell people Wiseman is going to be healthy. He did that. Number two, you still want people to believe that he's part of the future. He did that. And I think that's enough. I think that's more than enough. I still don't think he's going to be on the team, but you don't want to tank that value of that player right now, of that talent.
Yeah, my takeaway is Bob is smooth. I don't think anything from that press conference, it just doesn't mean anything. Like that Bob's going to say the same thing.
Not the Wiseman part. Yeah. Not the
Bob's going to say the same thing, whether they want to keep Wiseman or trade him. So there's no tell there, right? Like personally think they're not going to trade him because I think the Lakers probably overvalue Wiseman. Like I think there's the offer has to be substantial for the Lakers to go for it. Whereas maybe if Bob or Steve had autonomy, they might trade him for a little less. You know, so just odds are he's probably on the roster next year.
And now that depends on how they want to use him on the roster. So you had Steve Kerr, I should say, you put a quote of Steve Kerr saying that he took a little blame for, you know, kind of how Wiseman was, how he had coached Wiseman, how he had tried to develop Wiseman. So the quote here is, there are things that I could have done to make him more efficient, which... I mean, I'm throwing my hands up. People can't see me.
Shocker, bro.
Jesus. let me put two things together. Number one, you just said that Bob Myers can say a lot of stuff. Who knows whether he's going to do any of that or not. Same thing with Steve Kerr. He said a lot of the right things this season. He said a lot of the wrong things. He has never really ended up doing some of the right things outside of near the end of James Wiseman's season when they actually started running those pick and rolls. So I don't know. What do you think? So what do you think about those words from old Stevie?
I'll believe it when I see it. I hope they take this offseason to do some deep thinking and take some real inventory of the organization, because what I saw Steve doing with Wiseman for three quarters of the season was assuming he could just coach him the same way he coached Bogut, Iguodala, and like the players of the past. And it's like, this kid needs a lot more structure. The reason he's doing these dumb post-ups is because Steve Kerr wants him to make decisions. He's not ready to make decisions. He needs to be told, dunk, shoot three. That's it. You know, simplify the role. Pop to the three-point line and take the shot. We'll live with the fact of whether you make it or not. If you don't feel open, kick it to the man next to you. Simplify the basketball. And then on the flip side, screen and roll hard to the rim and try to catch a lob. Like, these are all, like, you got to establish the basics. And it seemed to me like they thought it was just going to click for him. And I'm like, hey, you might destroy the kid's confidence before anything. He's so far away from being a player who has the ability to freelance and figure it out on the fly.
He doesn't even know when to take a COVID test. Like, he missed a test twice. He's 19 years old. Like, am I mad at him that he missed the test? Yes. And do I cut him some slack? Yeah. Like, what do you, like, dude's a kid. Like, what do you want him to do? And so I think, yeah, that just told me that, you know, they expect him to be a lot more than he was. You want him to come in and be Andre Iguodala and be David West. Like, good luck. Who's going to be like that? LeBron James came in and wasn't like that. Right. And LeBron James is probably one of the more mature guys coming in the NBA of all time.
In terms of hoops IQ, LeBron at 18 was better than most players at like 28. So,
yeah. and off the court too, though. Like, I'm talking about on and off the court, right? On and off the court, you're right. And you're not expecting James Wiseman to come in and be that guy. Like, geez. So, I'm with you. I like the deep thinking that they have to do. Maybe they got to go, you know, the team campfire, camp retreat or something. You know, they need a little bonding. Kirk, Kent, Steve, Bob, like, figure it out, guys. Like, it's not, I think the Lakers, you're right. They value James Wiseman very highly. I don't think the Lakers value James Wiseman the way that Steve Kerr does. If it was up to Joe and team over there, I don't think they'd be running that offensive scheme with James Wiseman. I think Kirk, yeah, right. Kirk said, I want this guy. If it's him, I want this guy, and I want him to play the modern basketball style. That's what I want. If I want LaMelo Ball, I want him to play this style. And Steve probably was like, I don't know. I don't care what you think. Right. And then he benched him. And then the Lakers said, no, you're not benching our guy. That's where the stuff comes.
And that's my other theme for the year, by the way. I want to talk about this and then we get to player grades. Yeah. How do you feel about that? Yeah. My biggest theme from this year was, this was their first slap in the face that the NBA has evolved since 2016. Like, the league shoots more threes than ever. It's more about skill than athleticism and size than ever. The Warriors never had to adapt from 2016 because they signed Kevin Durant. Their adaptation was, we have more talent than you and we can play any way we want to win. But now they're in a situation where they don't have more talent. And I just keep going to this point. Like, the league is moving more towards skill than athleticism. And there's a reason players like Oubre and Bazemore are available to you, because those guys are all athleticism, but they don't have a lot of skill and IQ. They don't do a lot of playmaking for others. They're not great shooters. They don't do the things that really matter anymore. And maybe 5-6 years ago, having a bunch of hyper-athletic wings locked in mattered defensively more than it does today. Today, they would have been better suited keeping Alec Burks, who they let walk, because Alec Burks can at least put the ball in the bucket and knows how to dribble while keeping his head up. You know, like, they might have been better suited with that. And that, those are subtle things that are probably different from the last time they had to really consider signing players.
I agree. I think part of that too is how much they value defense versus where defense is headed today in the NBA. They keep talking about, we want a top five defense. But end of the day, like, your defense is really not, unless you are a lockdown defense. The Nets are about to win the title with just a miserable defense. And I don't know what, but I'm saying, like, they look incredible right now.
Right.
But like, they've got three stars, but they also don't really care about defense now. And I think that the Warriors, I think you're better served to find players offensively that make more sense for you. They had the 19th ranked offense, Sam, with Steph Curry playing the greatest season ever.
Yeah. I think you're better suited finding skilled guys and teaching them to be competent defensively than finding physical specimens and trying to teach them to be skilled. I think that's my overall, like, I would rather have Alec Burks and try to teach him how to be competent on defense than Kelly Oubre and teach him how to pass.
Isn't that so? Your comp there is Kelly Oubre. Isn't that kind of Andrew Wiggins too? Like, they saw Andrew Wiggins's defensive potential and they coached that up, and he's really good on defense. But offensively, he is what he is. And we're gonna about do grades here in about 30 seconds. But part of the reason you can't give him an A is because offensively he is who he is. He's not gonna be any better. He's really not gonna be any worse. And that's just kind of who will be forever, right? There's no magical, all right, he's going to be an efficient 22 points a game scorer now, and he'll come up big. And like, we're not getting that. And I also don't believe that the Warriors can coach that or out of him, right? So I think you're right. Like, they rather have the other side, which I don't know.
And even if you think about it, who have been the Warriors' successful draft picks? Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Jordan Poole, guys who are not imposing physical specimens but have a level of skill and IQ you cannot teach. Meanwhile, all their picks with like Jordan Bell, Damian Jones, all these guys who are like freak athletes, they never turn into players. Like, I think they need to prioritize picking someone who has skill and feel and bank on their ability to coach them up, and instead of getting enamored with these physical tools. Because it's not working. This team they ran out this year was super athletic. Can't really shoot, definitely not smart. Like, they would have just been better off with a little less athleticism, but a little more like hoops acumen.
I think there's a little disconnect there between Steve Kerr coaching the team that he wants versus what the Lakers and what they want.
in a team. So I think there's a little bit of disconnect there. And
real sports fans love fantasy sports, but unfortunately, most fantasy sports platforms don't show that same love back, favoring the sharks and professionals over the casual fans. Superdraft Fantasy Sports is here to change that narrative with their new single-game featured Champion Mode contest. Focus on drafting the players you know from the games that matter to you with no salary cap considerations when determining your lineup. Superdraft believes that the players, not the pros, deserve to win money, and they have the highest player win percentage.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Manage in DFS to prove it. Sign up with Superdraft today, start playing, and win big. New players can use the code STEPHBETTER upon sign up and receive a $25 instant match on your first deposit. Also, don't miss out on their free-to-play sportsbook available in all 50 states to win prizes from a VIP stay at a Caesars Hotel property to a PlayStation 5. Superdraft is available on both iOS and Android devices. Promo code STEPHBETTER.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to roman.com/lightyears now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/lightyears and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to getroman.com/lightyears and get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Getroman.com/lightyears. Get started now to save $15 off your first month of treatment.
But we got to get to player grades. We'll get to player grades.
Okay.
Right now.
Let's do it. All right, we're going to start with... Should we start on the front office?
Oh,
let's start on the
first ball. I was ready to go. Okay.
Let's start macro and management, then move down to the players. Since we've mostly talked about the front office, so I'm going to throw in Bob and the Lakers here. And it's important to remember it's both because Bob does not have autonomy without Lakers sign off in the way that other GMs do. What grade do you give him?
Can you give him any? So, like a C plus, probably. I think you can't give him an F because Clay was out. I think you can't fail him. It's just they get that built-in excuse, and I think that's fair. Actually, you know what? I'll give him like a C minus. They're willing to spend money. So if you're throwing in the Lakers, they're willing to spend money on Kelly Oubre. The other side is they're not willing to spend money versus like the DPE, right? They're not willing to make some of those moves.
Or do they spend smartly? James Dolan spends money.
I will hesitate to comp the Lakers to James Dolan.
That was
mean. That was good. But that was good. That was good. So I changed my mind kind of midway. I was waffling between a D plus and a C minus. I'll go with a C minus just because I do feel like they came in with relatively good intentions. I think the problem with this front office and Bob is that are those, like you said, are those good intentions backed by
smart decisions. And I don't know if that's the case. We also don't know, because I think part of the big grade on this is James Wiseman, right? We also don't know if, did the Lakers want LaMelo? Did they want Wiseman? What did Steve Kerr want? What did Bob want? I don't know if they were aligned on that. I'll give him a C minus, Sam, because I did feel like they came into the season. They did want to spend money. It kind of all fell apart because of their bad decision-making, because they can't find good players. They can't find good marginal pieces.
I'll also go with a C minus. Positive spending money, negative who they spent on. Positive being honest and putting resources in there. Jordan Poole is a positive for the front office. Juan Toscano-Anderson is a positive for the front office. Negative, I do think they passed on the best player in the draft. I think Wiseman's good. I think LaMelo might be a franchise player, which is a difference. Negative, they did not make enough moves during the season. So I'm going to stick with a C minus. We already talked about the front office for half the pod. So let's move to Steve. Steve Kerr, three chips.
Three chips, Steve. Oh, you're going to make me go first. All right. Honestly, I give him a D. This was not a good year for Steve Kerr. It really wasn't. And if you go into the season, there's only a couple of things that I think you feel are most important this season. Number one, making the postseason, right? I think that's bare minimum. You got Steph, you got Draymond. Didn't do it. Number two, develop James Wiseman. Didn't do it. We just talked about it. So if those are the two things that you come into the season, what did he really do well? People are going to say Jordan Poole. Did Steve Kerr actually develop Jordan Poole, Sam? I don't think so. They sent Jordan Poole's ass back to the G League. And then Jordan Poole gained his confidence, came back up, and was fantastic.
You're putting me in the position of defending Kerr.
This is what I do, baby. This is what I do.
I'm going to go with a C for Steve because at least he adapted. Did he adapt at the speed I would have wanted? No. At the end of the season, he did.
The last 20 games.
He did play Jordan Poole. He deserves credit for Wiggins' growth. Like, the coaching staff objectively deserves credit for what they did with Wiggins' defense.
That's fair.
He deserves credit for Juan Toscano-Anderson. He also deserves a lot of criticism for early part of the season, not chasing wins, a lot of the terrible rotations, and waiting way too long to come around on a lot of the stuff that was quite frankly obvious to most people that they needed.
Even the front office.
And that's part of the reason they ended up in the play-in instead of in making the playoffs. So correct. I can't give them anything better than that. I mean, yeah, maybe I'll give him a C minus. Him in the front office, one in the same. As I always say, like, you can't give one credit without the other. You can't give one blame without the other either. So,
yep.
Let's get to the players. This one goes without saying. Stephen Curry.
The only thing I will say about Steph is I don't like the "this is the greatest season he's ever had" stuff. I get it. He was amazing. A plus. Yeah, for the season, Sam. But he's won three championships, man. He's won two MVPs. Like, he's been amazing. This season, it is disappointing. It is very disappointing that they didn't make the postseason. Not his fault. But I guess the only thing I will say is, like, great season, not his best season. I'm hoping that next season will be his best season. But yeah, I mean, it was incredible. It's incredible what he did.
There's not enough superlatives to describe how good his season was. 32 points per game efficiently while being triple teamed most of the time. His performance against the Lakers probably is on par with LeBron's game one finals performance in 2018, where they lost. In my opinion, he was better than both AD and LeBron combined in that game, but they ended up coming up short because they didn't have enough talent. Like, that Lakers team was tripling him and they could not stop him from getting efficient shots off. So I think he was phenomenal. It just leaves a sour taste in my mouth where the whole thing ended.
I think that's, you said it best. For me, I think I can't stop saying how great Steph is. And we've been doing this for years on this podcast. It just hurts watching him lead this team to a play-in game and losing. And can you fault the guy? Like, the thing is, like, with the Grizzlies, he couldn't even get shots off in overtime because they throw two at him in half court. In a game-winning situation, Sam, and there's so many scenarios of this, in a game-winning situation, tie game, 10 seconds left, they doubled Steph at half court and gave Draymond Green not just a wide open three, but a wide open mid-range jump shot. Not just a wide open mid-range jump shot, but a wide open floater. And Draymond decided to miss all of those, right? And but I'm saying, like, that hurts because that is in both teams' biggest, like, moment. That's the biggest moment. Memphis said, I really don't care. Yeah. We will lose to Draymond. Like, we really don't care. And we'll get to Draymond in about 10 seconds. But, like, that shows to me how great Steph is. And get this motherfucker some help. You know what I mean? Like, get some ball handling.
Get some shot creation. If I see a roster where only him and Jordan Poole can dribble next year, I'll be so mad. All right, Draymond Green, what do you give him?
I think I give him a B minus, because the beginning of the season, he had a tale of three seasons. First was COVID, and then kind of the rustiness. Second one was, I think he got over COVID. He was just terrible. He wouldn't shoot. He wouldn't really, I don't know what he was doing. He was rondoing. And then the third part of the season, amazing. Amazing, right? He was scoring a little bit, incredible defensively, championship level defense, passing great, making all the right decisions. And then, you know, we just talked about the ending there, but I'll give that a B minus, Sam. I'll kind of take away some, I'll use COVID as some of the excuse portion, but I'll let you talk about the rest, because I know you're ready.
C+, B minus. I'm right about there. On the one hand, his defense was phenomenal. It was probably 95% of what it was at its absolute apex peak. You know what I'm saying? What he did to Anthony Davis in the play-in game was impressive. Like, yep. He was phenomenal. On the other hand, it's hard to overlook the offense, man. And, you know, like, the defining play of the season will be him airballing a floater, or like bricking a floater off the backboard. And those are things that's like, dude, we're not asking you to score 15 points a game. We're asking you to make layups and occasionally hit open three pointers. If you could do both those things, they're probably a 5 seed, even with everything else going on. And so because of that, 90% of the issues they have in the offseason are related to the fact that they need to figure out very specific fits around Draymond, not Steph, Draymond. And so for that, I give him B minus, C plus. It's the same thing for me, you know. Any way you slice it, immigrant parents are going to yell at you. So, all right, let's go to Wiggs.
Two-way Wiggs. I'll kick it off. B. He's the definition of a B-level player. Like, that's who he is. I kind of take away the contract now. I'd say the contract's whatever. But isn't he just an average basketball player? That's kind of who he is. He got a lot better defensively. You know, he shot a lot better, shot almost 40% from three, just a few percentage points below. But you're not relying on the guy to do anything more than that, right? In the game's biggest sequence.
Most athletic man on the court, but he's just going to take jumpers.
Yeah, you know, but he also had a few big plays, like in the battle for the 8 seed. He was pretty good in that game against Memphis, pretty damn good. He wasn't shook. And then he comes back against Memphis a few days later and just kind of just shoots a ball off the side of the backboard. And then, like, that's who he is. But, like, that's who Wiggs is, right?
I agree with you.
Pretty fun, athletic. We know, like, you can put KD next to him and Clay next to him next season. He's going to be the same player. Like, give him a B.
And I think a B is a victory for Wiggs, because most people would give him, like, a C- or D for his Minnesota years.
Yes.
So here's the reality of Wiggins. He's a B player making A money. And because of that, I will never consider him untradeable, because it's a capped sport and there's just only so many avenues to add talent. So he's always going to be, like, vulnerable to the trade machine and those things. But anyway, but honestly, he's probably the coaching staff's biggest victory. Like, they did get Andrew Wiggins to live up to his potential on defense. They didn't change him offensively, but he takes less shots. So that just means less mid-range jumpers. If he ever figured out just going to the hole hard and using his athleticism a little more, he'd probably be an all-star. But it's just not going to happen. He's just who he is. He's going to use his athleticism on defense, and he's going to settle for jumpers on offense a little bit.
I think we're okay with that. I think I'm maybe it's Stockholm syndrome, Sam, but I think I'm living with that from now on. I'll be okay with that if he does the same thing next year.
It's like Harrison Barnes in the sense of, once you let go of the idea that they can be great and accept them for what they are, he's actually a pretty productive, useful player.
Yeah. Just, you know, just in your head, just never say, you know, if he would just drive to the rim every game, like, just don't say that. Why think that? Cause if you do, you're hurting yourself. So,
yeah, man, it's like how you tell yourself every week, like, next week I'm going to the gym at 6 a.m. every day. And it doesn't happen.
Why? You know? Why? Well, you do.
It just doesn't. No, not. I don't. But it's that kind of, like, you know, sometimes you have to be realistic. All right. Let's get to James Wiseman. Let's do Wiseman next.
Oh, this is a really tough one. I don't know where to go with this one. Can I choose incomplete? I want to choose incomplete.
Dude, you're reading my mind. This is, I actually did not ask Andy for any of his grades beforehand, but that's literally where I was at.
I want to do it because, you know, number one, I don't put the struggles on him, and it's hard to blame him for it. I put a lot of his, I put like 80% of the struggle, 75%, three quarters of the struggles on the coaching staff and how they developed him and how they used him. And then the injury was tough. And he also had COVID. So let's put all those things together. And it's those, I don't know if he had COVID. He, anyway, whatever it was, he was out for a while, didn't have a training camp, all that stuff comes together. And I'm just like, I can't give him an A. I can't give him a C. I definitely can't give him an F. So it's like, he showed enough flashes, but I also, he's shown enough flashes of not being good. Incomplete, Sam. I can't. I don't know what to do with him.
That's how I feel too. I'm going to give him an incomplete. I mean, okay, fine. I'll give him a grade since you won't. I'm giving him a C. And that's based on number two pick. It's not his fault that picks after him were better, but you would expect a player with his skill set to be a little stronger mentally and not kind of tailspin the way he did. There are reasons for it. I don't blame him. I think he's an incomplete, but as far as rookie seasons go, average is C.
Yep. Okay.
I felt bad even doing that.
Okay.
Well, dirty. Kelly Oubre.
This was probably the second toughest guy to grade because I genuinely like enjoy Kelly Oubre. He's funny. Best fits. Did you see the mesh fit that he had after the Memphis? It's just incredible. Just game in, game out. A plus on the fits.
Andy's absolutely bought a mesh shirt. Think he could pull it off.
I just, you know, that's probably the one thing I think I can't pull off. I think. C to C minus with Kelly Oubre. And this is another one I think he's close to Wiseman where I don't know if he was put in the right situation. The team should have known he's kind of a brain cadet, space cadet. Like, you don't have him make decisions. You just have him play defense. But on the other hand, it's like, he's not 19. He's in his mid-20s. He should understand how to play better basketball than he does today with how much basketball he's actually played in his life. With Kelly Oubre, the thing I would say is he's never been bad enough to understand he has to play basketball differently. I think Juan Toscano has, right? He, Juan Toscano understands that he has to pass. Right. He has to defend. Kelly Oubre is good enough to say, I'm making 15 mil for the rest of my life. I'm not going to do anything better than I need to today.
I can get 15 points in my sleep because I'm bigger and more athletic than you.
Yep. Yeah. And he can shoot a little bit. Like, so he's not going to get any better. I think that's the problem. So I can't cut him that much slack. So I give him a C, C minus in that range.
Once again, I am aligned with you. C grade. He had some good moments, 40 points first. You know, the funny thing is, he was a B to B plus when he played power forward, and he was a D to D minus when he played shooting guard.
Yeah.
And that kind of sums it up. If you make him a play finisher where he uses athleticism and doesn't have to make decisions, he's pretty effective. When you let him use his length on defense, he's effective. When you ask him to think and do just things associated with playmaking and just more advanced stuff, it's not going to work. It's not who he is. So C is where he stands. He's kind of an average player, honestly, and is what it is. I don't think he'll be back next year.
Steph, Poole, Wiggins at the three, Oubre at the four, and Draymond at the five would have been fun against Memphis. Like, as him as the play finisher instead of Juan Toscano-Anderson turning the ball over, and we'll get to him soon. Like, I think that would have been fun. Like, him as a four and the play finisher against Memphis would have been awesome. He would have made some dumbass plays, but, like, that's every Warriors player outside. Actually, that's every Warriors player, right? So,
but at least he'll dunk the ball. Least he'll dunk the ball instead of throwing a floater off the glass.
all right, we got a couple more.
Looney.
A. I think easy A. Number one, stayed healthy all season. Started the season pretty poorly, I gotta admit. He was pretty hard to watch to start the season. He's someone like Wiggins where, look, if you want the guy to average like 8 points a game, you're only playing yourself, right? You're only gonna get disappointed. But he's a guy that, to me, good defense, solid enough rebounding, hips healthy, and passes to Steph. Like, he does all those good things, and I think for a guy that's making $5 million, I mean, he shouldn't be starting, but he's kind of put in that role. I think he deserves an A. Sam, I think it's pretty cut and dry.
I'm going to give him a B. And the only reason I'm giving him a B is I think he's capable of hitting open jump shots. Not at a high clip, not at a, I don't think he's going to be Carl Anthony Towns or anything out here, but I do think he's capable of hitting an open jump shot. And he didn't add that to his game this year. He did everything else you could possibly ask of Looney, but I would like to see him come back with the semblance of a 3-point shot.
He is not 34. Like, if you're 34, you can say, I don't need to develop a three, but he's young enough to where it's like, dude, you need to add something to your game. You're right. You're right. He needs to add something a little more because he's not 35, even though he plays and looks that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. He does need to add something. Draymond too.
All right. Jordan Poole.
Crazy thing about Jordan Poole is he started the season pretty poorly.
He's another guy who had two different seasons.
Yeah. Like two entirely different, but I think A+. I don't even care about the beginning of the season. A+. The confidence, the maturity, the mentality that he has in a playoff game against the Lakers and the Grizzlies. Honestly, those two games, that's all I needed to see. It just told me, first of all, he's the second best guy on the team at scoring and handling, getting to the rim, right? Even if Clay's there, Jordan Poole might be that guy. And big shots, big free throws. Competed. I mean, what more can you want from a 21-year-old? So easy A, I think, for Jordan Poole.
I'm going to give him a B+.
Oh!
I think the early part of the season has to be counted against him. He gets an A for the second half, a C+ for the first half. I'll give him a B+ total.
Tough grader.
Hey, man, I have to separate myself from you in some capacity.
I blame Steve for the first half of the season.
I do too. But even in the second half of the season, the consistency isn't where I'd want it. But I was willing to, honestly, I'm willing to have a B+ Jordan Poole, and I'd be fine with that. Like, he's a good, and I actually think he has a higher ceiling than people think. And I think, you know, Steve Kerr saying he can be the sixth man next year. I think he's going to end up being better than the sixth man. It might not happen next year, but I do think he's an NBA starter long-term.
Woo.
And, you know what? Good for him. Good for him. Good for the front office for IDing it. We can call him a win. As I said earlier, it's not that they don't have wins. It's that they have not had enough. It reminds me a little of the Giants where it's like, well, we found Derek Rodriguez. It's like, all right, other teams find 10 players, you know, like you can't the issue isn't that they don't find guys. The issue is that they do not find enough guys at the rate that other better teams do.
Wow.
Anyway,
Rodriguez. Very well done. You found Rodriguez's son.
He is. Yeah. Pudge. Wow. My man. All right.
Wow.
Bazemore.
I'm in awe. That was well done. I think a B.
I was thinking Duffy, but then I decided to go with the Derek Rodriguez.
Duffy's still in the league. Crazy. He's not bad. But another utility guy, right? That's all he is. Like Dubon is probably his comp at best. Bazemore, I think a B. I was frustrated watching Bazemore every single time I watched Bazemore. I honestly felt like I wanted to kill myself. But shot very well from three, tried really hard defensively. Fouled a lot. Like Bazemore was kind of like, we watch how Dylan Brooks play basketball, right? He makes a lot of plays, makes a lot of dumb plays, but he plays really hard on a minimum contract. So the frustration level, I think, on a game-to-game basis will have you thinking Bazemore is an F. But when you zoom out and look at it from like a how much the guy's playing for and kind of what he does for the team, I gotta give the guy a B. I got to.
I think that's fair too. Bazemore's biggest issue is that the front office also signed Oubre and has Wiggins. Like, Bazemore is more than adequate for a league minimum wing. He plays engaged defense. He actually shot the ball incredibly well this year. What do you think Bazemore shot on the season?
His three was like almost 40%, wasn't it? If I'm not mistaken, wasn't it like 38, 39? It was something insane.
Try again. 41%.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I just like, you're not going to get better than that. Like, you were hoping for over 37. You were like, if he shoots 37%, I'll be very happy with him. But you have the same issues. He's not really a decision maker. He's a little erratic. He'll foul a little too much. But with all that said, I think he had a good season. I think he's a victim of being asked to do too much. Otherwise, I'd be happy if he's on the Warriors next year, maybe playing 5 to 10 less minutes a game, right? All right, I'm going to do do we even need to do let's do Juan Toscano-Anderson, and then we'll leave everyone else alone.
Yeah. All right. JTA, I think another A. I think the only problem with JTA this season has been, I guess, two things. Number one is, I don't think Steve Kerr gets credit for JTA. I think JTA was benched for far too long on this team. Maybe they help him in one more game, maybe two, but those games are pretty damn important, right? So I think JTA, just an absolute A+. The problem moving forward with JTA would probably be he reminds you so much of Draymond, just so much. And in those two final games there, in those win nows.
Not wanting to shoot the ball.
Yeah, that was just really, it really, he was shooting the ball well all season. He was confident enough to shoot, but he kind of lost it there for a second. Can't blame the guy, but he's also 20 years old. It's not like he's 22. So, but A+, easy A+. Incredible glue guy.
I will give him an A also. Best story of the season behind Steph Curry, just local guy, caught on. He is an NBA player. He deserves to be in a rotation. We were doing grades and not what we want them to improve on in the offseason, but like, I just want to throw that in there. I want to see Juan chuck the ball. Juan shot 40% from three this year, but he only took 92 total attempts. He took three per 36 minutes. So if he started, he would have took 2.5 to 3 a game. I really need Juan to like double that and let it fly a little more, because if he wants to play more in this lineup, if he wants to play more minutes for the Warriors, he needs to be a guy who hits open threes. He can't be the guy who's hesitating, looking for a pass all the time, waiting for Steph to run off of a bazillion screens. Although we do enjoy that. He has to have a little more confidence shooting the ball. And unlike Draymond, who I don't think his shot will ever come back in any capacity, I don't think Juan's shot's broken. I think he can. Let's put it this way. If Juan shot 37% on double the volume, that would be better than shooting 40% being selective. So that's what I want to see next year. If he can do that, you might want to just start him, honestly.
I think at the very least you're closing with him if that happens. So all in all, I mean, the season, what, probably a C? I think we can close it out here.
D. They didn't make the playoffs. It's not acceptable. I think the way they didn't, the only reason I don't fail is because they were legitimately a playoff team record-wise. Like they did. They won 39 games out of 72. That paces for a 46-win team. Honestly, considering the talent, that's pretty good. But, you know, the result is what it is. You don't get exclamation. You don't get brownie points for doing a mediocre job, you know, like, and not making the playoffs. So I don't think they get a good grade. I think it's a D.
Whew. Harsh. Can't disagree. You don't make the playoffs. You don't develop the players the right way. You don't get to call your season success. It's very, very simple. So, but the good news is they got Steph. They got Draymond. They got Klay coming back. And they got chips this offseason to make some moves. So we'll be back. We'll probably talk about the offseason a lot, obviously, in the next coming weeks.